Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. Triple M NRL Primetime for SwiftX. Buy, sell, earn, loan, crypto with SwiftX. Visit SwiftX.com to start trading today.
Names.
You will never see a team like this again.
The biggest game.
This game.
What a game.
Magnificent. Unbelievable.
Game on.
Getting a head start on the weekend.
Rugby league. That's what we love it.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks Thursday night footy.
Yes, indeed. Thursday night football. Suncorp Stadium, the venue. And what a terrific contest we've got here. Not just Katoni Staggs versus Sifa Talakai, but the Broncos against a Cronulla side who are flying this year. Let's go straight to Ben Dobbin because, Dobbo, you've got some news on the sideline. It's big news in regards to the lineups.
Yeah, good evening, guys. Big news as well. Dale Finucane is out of this Cronulla side. I spoke to him just a little earlier. He said he might have been potentially right to play. He has a calf strain, and he said he didn't want to do any further damage to it. Cameron McInnes comes into the starting lineup, and Triple M's Wade Graham comes onto the interchange. Nicho Hynes will captain that side. So big news, Dale Finucane, their leader, out of this clash. And I don't know, bringing Wade Graham back, that's a very, very big plus. But losing Dale, obviously, is a huge loss for this side that's had so much success this year.
All right, thank you, Dobbo. We'll catch up with you in a moment. James Graham, late inclusion. Hello to you, brother.
Yeah, got the late call-up and here I am, in the flesh.
Here, you're going beautifully this year.
Oh, thank you.
Clearly not as well as the other bloke. Because I look here on the Triple M social media picture, right? This is the hierarchy of Triple M footy. I can't get on here. Been here 20 years. On the edges, Talos and Girdler, right? Fair. Wendell and Emma. That also both, I think that requires discussion, but fine. But in his first full-time year, Benji Marshall is the face of Triple M footy.
This is unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah, give me a look.
Was this part of your contract?
Nah, that's just for round eight.
It doesn't matter. That is Triple M.
Mate, I've seen you there before.
Benji, I don't care about that, but I'm saying that it's Benji Marshall the face of Triple M.
No, I'm not. What
a rise. This is a quicker rise than at the Tigers. Tigers, you debuted in 03. It was 05 you went berserk. You are doing this in your first year here.
Yeah,
but
I only last couple of years and get injured, but...
that's right. Yeah, your shoulder was... That's where I kept getting stuck.
I thought, Michael, and this was bad for media domination for Benji Marshall.
Mate, come on.
It's his own show.
That's right.
His own show. Like, maybe it's
time for
his own network.
Do you think there was a diva turn because his show was rubbed out this week because of Anzac Day? Do you think...
Why am I sweating?
Benji would have gone... Guys, what are we doing?
Yeah, where's your priorities?
What are we doing? Yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah. It was the best week of ratings we had.
Who's delivered Wayne Bennett? Who's delivered every good player in this competition?
Here we go.
I have. How dare you?
Why are we doing this, by the way?
Because we've got 45 minutes to fill. Hello, how are you?
Hey, g'day, mate.
I gave it to Wendell last week for 20 minutes,
true.
So
yeah.
We're just going to take
it. Nah, that's right, and you can't do that.
You know, they piss out of me next week. It's all good.
Okay.
But we've got to fill our time.
Thanks for that, though.
You're flying,
it's the first time I saw that photo.
Yeah.
And I think maybe they should put Emma in the middle.
Oh, but hang on. I mean, I've the questions she should be even in the five. I've questions.
Who would you put, Reedy?
Well, what would the hierarchy be? I think Maroon and Ganain. I think your callers have got to be in there. We should go on the edges.
It could only be one of the two.
Then we know. Okay.
So Maroon.
Hey.
Yeah, so Maroon in the middle, and then who?
Fine. And
Gordy, obviously.
Well, the middle's the only one that matters.
Okay, fair enough.
So Guy used to be the face of it, but then he's obviously moved to breakfast.
Yeah.
Sterling used to be the face of it, but he's retired. So, look, it's up for grabs. Benji's got it this week.
Next week it'll be Gordy, Kenty, and Hoops.
Okay.
And well, Jimmy.
Well, that's the game coverage, what that thing was there. Yeah. So you've got to be part of the game coverage. Anyway, I'm giving you a wrap, Benji. You're flying. It's only taking you 8 weeks to get to the top seed here, to get to the Novak Djokovic position. Hey, let's get to the serious story, and that is what is going on at Canterbury. James Graham, of course, legend of the club. And that's I don't say that lightly. Yeah. You are a legend of the club at a wonderful club, but they've been miserable the last few years. What have you made of the events of this week where Phil Gould apparently went in and tore the door off the hinges and ripped into a few players and then took the training session over? That's the report. That's been confirmed that Gus did take over a session. So what have you made of it all?
Yeah, look, I think the way they've started the season results-wise, you know, their one win from however many games we are, not what, seven? You know, questions need to be asked, you know, no matter what the situation. So questions have been asked. I do wonder internally what a successful season looked like. Like, they were given a horrible draw. Let's make no bones about it. They went to Townsville, then to Brisbane, and then they played last year's top four. So what was the realistic expectation out of that? And let's be real, like, not the old, well, you know, four from the first set.
No, they weren't
like,
going to win that.
Well, externally, no. But internally, what was the realistic expectation? So it's interesting to see at this point, after a loss last week, that Gus decides to come in, or it gets reported that he comes in. I wonder if he's been involved in any of the training sessions prior. Now, general manager of football is his official role. What does that actually mean? At the different football clubs I've been at, the general manager or the football manager doesn't tend to have hands-on.
Yeah.
But I never worked with a guy like Gus Gould, or a guy with the
different.
Experience of Gus Gould.
Each club's so, different. Sometimes the CEO is the main guy. Sometimes
coached,
it's the chairman.
Exactly. So
he's coached Origin before.
Yeah. Of course.
So he obviously knows what he's talking about. And I think in this situation, I think if he has come in like reported to be believed, then I think he's coming from a good place. So the place is, I don't want to stand by and watch Rowan burn. I'm going to come in.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try and fix this. I'm going to try and solve it. I'm going to try and pass on rather than just sit back and be quiet about things, I need to start making some changes now, have my voice be heard, and hopefully the plan would be to get a reaction out of this playing group.
Before I get your opinion, Benj, let's have a listen to Trent Barrett, the coach. So he seems to be the quote-unquote victim out of all of this. Let's have a listen to what he had to say today.
It was my idea, yes. We had a video, a planned video, and Gus has done it a couple of weeks in a row now, so we go through some stats, and we went through them all morning together, and he presented them to the team, and then I wanted him to do a couple of things out on the field, which he did for me, and that was it. Look, again, it's been blown into something that wasn't an issue. So anyway, a little bit of a distraction yesterday. But
some people would say that reduces your authority as the person who's meant to be in charge of the team.
No way. The boys know who the coach is. Gus doesn't interfere in any tactical things. He'll give an opinion and give an opinion to me, and we speak regularly, and that's his job and that's what he's here for. And again, why wouldn't I ask for Gus's opinion? And if I think a different voice can help the team at a certain stage, and, you know, why wouldn't I do it? I'd be silly to, you know, and not to. If it's going to help us win, I'm going to use him. If I think he can help motivate the players in a different way, I'm going to use him.
So there he is, Trent Barrett, and you know, says it's his idea. Maybe it was. Or maybe that's a smother. Well, I don't know. I'm on the outside. I wouldn't have a clue.
But does it really matter?
Well, I think it does. I think if a coach's authority, well, you would know better than me, but if the players see a coach has basically been, has had his authority taken away, doesn't he then become like the substitute teacher?
Yeah, but he's not bringing in anything tactical about the way they're playing, or he's not bringing anything to do with their game plan. I'd liken it to what Wayne Bennett does.
Yeah.
The things he doesn't do, he gets other people to come and, or the things he doesn't do well, he gets other people to do for him.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like Gus is in there every week. And I spoke to my brother before I came here today to see what was going on, and he said it's not nothing different to what they've had before. Like, he said it's been blown out of proportion compared to what's actually happened there.
I think, well, Benji, pick you up on a couple of points there. Wayne Bennett and Trent Barrett are two very different coaches.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, very different in what they've achieved and where they're at. And obviously, you know, Wayne, when he was probably a little bit younger, probably was a little bit more hands-on in every department. But anyway, going back to what your brother said, I hope he's right in saying that this is a regular occurrence, because what you don't need... Oh, sorry. I don't feel you need... you know, what 1-7 or 1-6, whatever the record is at the minute, someone sporadically coming in unchanging things.
But he's not just nobody, though.
No,
he wasn't changing things.
No, exactly. I'm saying, like, if this was the one-off.
He's done it before. If he's there every week, then it's not a regular occurrence, yeah. But he's done it before.
Yeah, right.
Right? So, and sometimes you need to hear accountability from other people as well, you know, and he's the general manager of football, so he's entitled to do that. Running a training session might seem different, but he didn't run the whole session. He got involved in a part of it.
And everything you say might be right, but you add that to the Kyle Flanagan stuff where he apparently wouldn't allow Trent Barrett to use him because he said, that's not going to be my decision.
Mm.
It does build a momentum that perhaps it's an unusual scenario there at Canterbury.
Yeah, of course, but when you're losing, that's what happens.
James, you said it's been a horrible draw, and it has. I mean, they could have started a little better. They beat the Cowboys. Brisbane, they got close to. Manly, they got beat by one. But then after that, it's been Melbourne, Penrith, South, and then Brisbane last week. They just ran out of puff last week. Mm. Maybe their fitness is an issue. I don't know. But I think the frustration for Canterbury fans, James, is they're not seeing progress. They're seeing all these new blokes. They're seeing, hey, it's great. We've got Matt Burton and we've got Josh Addo-Carr and we've got a whole bunch of them. And, yes, we've got Marnie coming next year and Kikau. But we're not actually seeing much improvement. They still can't score points and they, for the most part, can't get close in games.
Yeah, well look, for me, some of the recruitment, that's a whole hour within itself. I'd question it. And don't get me wrong, there's some great names in there. Some great names.
Dufty?
They give Dufty a one-year deal. So what does that tell you?
So you better hit the ground running or you're off.
What is he, 25?
Sounds about right.
So they give him a one-year deal. I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah.
You know, a guy like Addo-Carr, like, it was sensational at Melbourne, absolutely sensational, but he's a finisher.
Yeah.
He needs service. Is he getting that at Canterbury? Maybe not. Burton, an incredible talent. But he was a rookie last year. He made his debut last year in an all-champion Penrith team. Now he comes to the Bulldogs, who are bottom of the ladder, and a lot of hope is invested in him. And also, when you look at it, you often see players, their debut season is amazing, and then the following year's a little quieter. And I think long-term, Burton will be a very, you know, an amazing player for Canterbury. He really will be. But just, I think at the moment, it's expectation is probably a little higher than, you know, those within the game would predict if they were being honest.
Okay, well, they've got some winnable ones coming. Roosters next week. I know they're not flying the Roosters, but obviously that's a task. Then they've got Canberra, Newcastle, Wests, Tigers, Dragons. If things don't improve in a hurry, it'll be sayonara to the coach. Whether it's fair or not, it'll be all over for Trent Barrett if they can't pick off at least a win or two out of that bunch.
I don't like talking about coaches' futures. You know, we saw Madge under a heap of pressure. He wins a couple of games and it's, you know, the whole different narrative there. I think with the Bulldogs, I want to see Trent Barrett succeed.
Mm.
But yeah, you know, we are in a results-based industry, aren't we? And I know fans are unhappy there. And you look at those next four games and, you know, even the Roosters, they've not hit full stretch.
They're beatable.
And then you go Canberra Knights, Tigers. Yeah, it'd be, you know, in four weeks' time, the conversation could be very different.
And that's halfway through the season.
Yeah.
That's enough time, isn't it, to make an assessment. All right, and no doubt this will be a topic of conversation amongst all the Saturday and Sunday. Triple M rocking the footy, Suncorp Stadium, the venue tonight. We'll catch up with Dobbo on the other side of this as well as we get ready for a bumper Thursday night clash. Round 8 about to get underway, and we do prime time for SwiftX. If you're curious about cryptocurrency, almost had to hit the dump button there, but not sure where to start. It's swiftx.com to start your journey. Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, NRL prime time for SwiftX. James Graham, Benji Marshall, Dan Ganane, Ben Dobbin with us on this Thursday night, Suncorp Stadium. We're all going to be at Suncorp for a magic round that's going to be fantastic in only 2 weeks, isn't it? I think it's 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So it's coming around very quickly after a thumping Anzac Day Roundon, Easter the weekend before that. Hey, Dobbo, come in and what's the weather like? Apparently there's been a bit of a rain about.
Yeah, it was rain all morning. It's been, but since around about 3 o'clock, it's dried out. The field is in good condition, but expected to be a fraction slippery early on. We've had storms like most people in most of the southeast of Australia have had over the last couple of weeks. But all in all, I'm standing on the sort of 20 metre line at the present moment, and it's actually very damp underfoot. But they do a good job here of getting it looking picture perfect, and look, it's ready to go.
Okay, who does that help, gents? If it slows down the pitch?
Well, I think it doesn't matter, to be honest.
Okay.
I think, you know, Cronulla for me is just raving. They're just going hard at the moment. The way they're playing has been phenomenal. I'm loving Cronulla.
Have you been, Dobbo? I haven't spoken to you for ages. What's going on in your world?
Mate, we're very well up here, Dan. Everything's going along nicely. Just getting through another year of football. Lots happening.
Mr. Drive Time, how's that going?
No, it's going well. Yeah, we've got a good little program, the Rush Hour, up here with Liam Flanagan, who's part of Triple M and is known very well, and obviously Liesl Jones. So going very well. And look, all the talk's been up here around the Dolphins at the moment and who they're going to secure. So we're working overtime. They're going to make a couple of big announcements, massive names in the next couple of weeks. So,
Hello.
Yeah. Just tease us there, like,
Okay. Are we? Yeah, his name rhyme with Reece Walsh?
I'm not going into where it's going, but I can tell you now that, well, Triple M will get it when it happens. But you know what it's like, Dan. Just wait and we attack.
Right. Okay, I like the idea of a couple, though.
Dobbo, just cough if it's Cameron Munster.
I think everybody would like Cameron Munster. The big talking point, and it'll be interesting to see how he goes tonight, is Herbie Farnworth. Now, what we do know is Herbie Farnworth's off contract at the end of this season at the Brisbane Broncos. He's meeting with the Dolphins next week. He's obviously had fruitful conversations with the Broncos. They want him to stay. But whether or not Herbie Farnworth remains as a Brisbane Broncos is yet to be determined. Now, the Mail Eye is getting Parramatta are very interested
in. Yes, they
were. It's a two-horse race. It's either the Dolphins or it'll be Brisbane. And, look, he's been at the Broncos since he arrived over here, since he was a 15-year-old. He loves Brisbane. But they need to come up with a plan and some proof of a direction that they're heading the right way. He's a young man who is on the up. His football's improved considerably. He's a really, really good young kid. And the Dolphins have said they would love him. He'll meet with Wayne again next week. And he says by magic round, he will decide his future. So that'll be an interesting take on where Herbie Farnworth ends up. But it will be either at Brisbane or at the Dolphins.
So a couple of weeks, weigh that up. Someone, a couple of announcements, a couple of weeks, someone before magic round. I'm just going to throw it out there. Herbie Farnworth.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't. Look, he's another one. But, I mean, there's some. I think Reece Walsh will end up at the Dolphins. I truly do. I know Brisbane are confident getting him back, and they've been having some discussions. Simon Scanlon, the recruitment officer at Brisbane, is very close with him and been having a lot of discussions, remembering it's in his favour and his choice. But Wayne Bennett needs a kill, and Reece Walsh should be a handy one. I mean, we all assume that eventually Cameron Munster will come there. And them signing Tom Gilbert from the Cowboys, very good.
He's a good player, Tom Gilbert,
Yeah, that was a good coup. And mate, Connie's coming back. We know that Conrad Harrell's coming back, so he'll be coming there. And look, you'd expect Anthony Milford will join the Dolphins next year. There's some of these players that you're going to see come there, but they have found it more difficult than they think, despite the fact that Wayne says, no, it hasn't been. It has certainly been a difficult time to try and secure players. And there are players waiting to see whether or not Munster does commit. If Munster comes there, there are other players that will flow on from that. So it's a very interesting time.
Indeed. And then if they get Munster, then they've got to try and do a deal with Melbourne to get him up there next year. And Melbourne want no part of that. So
I'll throw a smoky to you guys, and this is it. I think that the Dolphins will make a play at Scott Drinkwater, and that will depend on how he's still contracted, obviously, at the Cowboys. But the Hammer is their number one choice in the fullback position. He's been injured, and he will come back into that side. So what happens with Scott Drinkwater will determine in the next couple of weeks, I think, will determine exactly what happens to him long term. I know that the Dolphins would love to have Scott Drinkwater at their club. He's still obviously contracted, and they've identified that if things don't go right and he's not getting game time, we saw how good he was last week against the Titans, he could be a Dolphin in 2023.
Yeah, he's far too good to not be playing first grade.
Yeah.
Like if Hammer comes back and takes that number one jersey, which undoubtedly he probably will, Drinkwater can't be not.
All right, so it's starting to build. Have they got enough forwards? I mean, so these are nice names.
They've got Mark Nichols at the moment.
Yes.
They've got, obviously, both Bromwiches.
Yes.
Kafusi. It looks like Ray Stone's going to be there.
Yeah, okay.
They now signed Tom Gilbert.
Okay, I mean, so they're building something.
Yeah, I think Jake Turpin will be there next year as well. I think that he's out of favour at Brisbane, despite the fact they're saying it's an injury. It's not an injury. He's out of favour at the moment at the Broncos, and I think he's off contract. And I think that defensive mindset number nine is Wayne Bennett through and through, and I think Jake Turpin will be there next year as well.
All right, beautiful. Okay, good on you, Dobbo, and we'll catch up. If you get anyone, by the way, give us a bell, and we'll whack you straight on.
No dramas at all.
Triple M rocking the footy on a Thursday night for Ream Hot Water and for SwiftX, bringing us prime time Benji Marshall and James Graham. Sounds like it's coming along. They've got a long way to go, boy, the Dolphins. But at least progress seems like finally it's being made.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And obviously we all know that, you know, contracts aren't worth what they used to be anymore. And players get unhappy with coaches come the end of the season and will look for moves. And, yeah, I'm sure it will all fall into place.
Well, the most appealing thing about going to Redcliffe is the getting coached by Wayne.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people always wonder what's so great about Wayne, but you just got this knack with players of bringing out the best and making sure that when you turn up to play, you know your job, you know what your role is, but you're confident in that, you know. And I feel like listening to, or even talking to Wayne, like I like he's not rushing and just signing any players. You want to sign the right players. And with Wayne, he likes signing good people.
Yeah.
That's a key thing for him.
If rugby league has taught us anything, players will always be available. It doesn't matter how late into a season, how late before, you know, January, February, players all of a sudden become available. So, you know, the term we use is he needs a kill, and there's no doubt about that. You need one to just say, hey, well, here's Munster or here's Ponga. And but anyway, I just can't see them being a bottom feeder with Bennett.
Well, yeah. He won't want to. Like, everyone's probably thinking, oh, the first year they'll just, you know, make up the numbers.
Well, basically.
But he won't be thinking
every, you know, franchise team.
He might say it, but he won't be thinking that.
Because the fear is they become the South Queensland Crushers. If they didn't have Bennett, we'd be calling them the South Queensland Crushers of 95. But,
it's a great situation for Wayne to be in, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
He can't lose.
So I think he can. You don't think.
How, though? How does he lose?
What if they go 1-23 next year?
They'll go better next year.
You see, but you don't want that attached to your name.
But I don't reckon they will.
I don't think they will either at all. But you, when you're a legend, you don't want to go out like that.
Yeah, but
that.
He's starting a new club. Like, that's the whole point of it.
I understand.
Yeah, but people will forgive that, starting a new club.
Let's say they win seven games in the first year. You'd go, it's pretty good.
In 3 years, if they're still going 1-25 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Then, yeah.
All right. Well, they're not going to take away seven premierships, so I think that's fairly secure. Triple M rocking the footy on a Thursday night as we do it for SwiftX.
Triple M NRL primetime for SwiftX. Buy, sell, earn, loan crypto with SwiftX. Visit SwiftX.com to start trading today.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocking the footy on a Thursday night. My goodness, so many issues to cover on primetime for our friends at SwiftX. And we do it tonight with Benji Marshall, James Graham, Ben Dobbin on the sideline. Buy, sell and earn crypto with SwiftX. Visit SwiftX.com to kick off your crypto journey today. Now, some of the other things going on in the league. Josh Schuster, this is interesting. His management has made it clear he wants the 5-8 spot at Manly. And was promised it by the CEO, which is an odd thing for a CEO to promise. But I suppose a lot of things get said. In fact, you blokes should be aware of things that would get said in a contract negotiation that perhaps weren't delivered upon.
Well,
if you want to expand, I wasn't going to ask you. But
go on, Benji. Fill us in.
There'd be no expansion. But yeah, that happens all the time.
Yeah. So, but do you think it'll cause any drama?
I don't think so. Like, he's still young, you know, Schuster. Kieran Foran's probably got a couple of years there.
Yeah.
Long term, he's going to be there.
Of course.
You know, and he's good enough to be. But he was doing a pretty fair job at back row for him as well. So, yeah, eventually, yeah, he's there.
Well, I think if you're the manager, don't get your guarantees on where your player's going to play from the CEO. Go, can I go and speak to the coach, please? Yeah, and maybe see what he thinks rather than, I said, CEO, like, well, what do you do with that promise?
Yeah, well, when I...
Like, basically, it's just like, yeah, I've also got your gold Rolls Royce as well, but I don't deliver on that. Like, what's that promise from a CEO worth? Like, nothing. It's worth absolutely zero.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know Josh Schuster's management, so I don't want to be... But honestly, it's embarrassing it got out. It's embarrassing that they've leaked it. Yeah. I assume it's come from there. I might be wrong.
There could be something there, though, to be fair. They've signed Tuilagi from the Tigers for next year, who's an outstanding prospect. Yes. Like, he's been one of the Tigers' best, in my opinion. Looks threatening every time he gets the ball. And they've got Olakau'atu on another edge back row, so that would... They've got Jake at lock...
Yeah.
I mean...
Do you think Jake will be front row before not too long? Because that's where he plays for New South Wales.
He could.
He could. That's
They're very similar, though. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
Front row, blocker, very similar.
He wouldn't be able to play 80 minutes, I don't believe, at front row, though.
No.
Or he could just continue his style of play, but with a number 8 or 10.
Anyway, the news is that Kieran's been offered a one-year extension. So that's obviously what has riled the Schuster management to go, well, okay, we've sat back and waited. You're going to make us wait another year. But they're a much better team with Schuster in the second row, aren't they? You got the Cherry Evans, you got Tom Trbojevic when he's there, you got Schuster out wide. Someone said very eloquently last night, this subject comes up every single year, and every single year we talk about it. Could the grand final be moved to Queensland? The Queensland government apparently is itching. Well, we know they're itching, but apparently it's built momentum. The master of getting money for nothing, Peter Volandis, the master last year, outbidding nobody, Queensland government, to get the Origin in Townsville for $8 million. It was unbelievable. There's no doubt Queensland have played... pay big bickies. We don't understand what the New South Wales element is in that they were promised the grand final, I assume on paper, providing ANZ Stadium was levelled and renovated, which was the original plan. Anyway, all that plan's changed. Now it's going to be suburban grounds with the City Football Stadium and Bank West, and ANZ's not getting touched at all. So I think the NRL believes, well, that contract's null and void, so we can do what we want. Could you see this happening, going anywhere?
Oh, I don't see why it couldn't. You know, like, look at the NFL, what they do, right? Every year they just make it in a different spot. I don't mind that. If we're going to grow the game. But why does Sydney have dibs on it? Is it
the old tradition?
Yeah, well, last year
that's what people hang their hat on. It's tradition. I personally don't believe. I like the idea of moving it around. But the argument will be, well, it's always been played in Sydney.
I've got an idea for you in a second. But before we get to Dobbo, what about this idea, right? Let's say we give it like an Olympic cycle for Brisbane. Once every 4 years, Suncorp Stadium. Not once every two is probably a bit...
Once every three, then.
Oh, okay, that's our compromise.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine, we agree. Dobbo, what have you got?
Oh, look, I was speaking to some people from the Queensland government today, and they don't believe the sources I'm talking to, that there's been any approach. Now, we know PVL is the masterstroke, and he's done a phenomenal job in getting this game back on its feet and all the revenue that's coming in. But I think there could be a little bit of cat and mouse here. I genuinely think that, you know, he just needs a little bit of an increase to get the grand final. He wasn't happy with the initial figure, so... Let's throw it out there again. And and look, I mean, don't get me wrong. If Brisbane had the opportunity and were approached, I think they'd certainly take it. But, Benji, I'm with you, mate. I actually believe that with a National Rugby League competition, and whether or not the grand final is in Melbourne or whether or not it's in Western Australia or whether or not it God forbid it's in Darwin. But, I mean, you know, it should be offered to the best person. I mean, I understand the theory behind it, that Sydney is where the NRL started and New South Wales Rugby League, and that's its traditional. And you talk to people like Wayne Bennett who believe that the grand final should be played in Sydney every year. He's a big advocate for it. But I think if they're truly wanting to make it a national game, send her wherever. Best person can win. Let New South Wales pay for it if they want it.
All right, well, it's our showpiece event now.
Yeah.
So we need to be, we've got to be mindful, if we take it to Brisbane and it's two Sydney teams, will it sell out? If we take it to Melbourne?
Well, Dobbo can answer that better than us. I think it would sell out.
Yeah, first year, but then when the novelty wears off.
But again, if you're only taking it once every 3 years, 4 years, 5 years.
They people that buy the tickets before.
Did someone just hand you a coffee, Dobbo?
No, Corey Parker just gave me some notes and I just said thank you.
Polite bunch
looking
of
Looking after me. Yeah, just polite up here to Corey Parker. Mate, he's an Origin legend and a Broncos legend. You respect those bucks.
Don't tell him that. He doesn't need the confidence boost. Now, here's my idea, Jimmy. You ready for this?
Go on.
Round zero. I love this round zero idea. I think LA is just an excuse for everyone to go to America for a few days. What if we took the four most attractive NRL teams, and we said, right, let's go to Old Trafford. Saturday, we'll play at midday or 11 a.m. English time, game one. Then we'll play Hull versus Hull. And then on the Sunday, we'll have 11 a.m., Manly versus Melbourne, whatever. And then off the back of that, St. Helens versus Wigan.
All at Old Trafford.
All at Old Trafford.
Well, I'll tell you this, the groundsman would have a kid. There's no way they would let four games of rugby league be played on that pitch.
Anfield. You're going to give me the same answer.
Yeah. No, I like the idea in theory. I think it's great. Normally, I'm not too keen on gimmicks, but I like that idea.
Okay.
Do you remember the World Cup?
I think
Club
you're being kind, but thank you. Yes.
When we sent four teams to play four English teams?
Yeah, but the games meant nothing. It was an exhibition. It was a joke.
If you make it like a competitive game, almost like an international magic round.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's got potential legs.
Okay, thank you. All right, Triple M rocking the... You're very kind there because I think you wanted to whack that over the head.
I'd definitely be keen, but mate, those football grounds, they're
right.
Like bowling greens, mate, and they hate the idea of anything. They don't even let you walk on them.
You're right. And it's in March. I forgot about that because I was thinking of Magic. There's been Magic Grounds, and Magic Ground was invented Super League at the Newcastle Stadium.
It's at St. James's Park, correct? Yeah, this year.
Again, and the Manchester City Stadium, but of course it's after the football season, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the Etihad might be owned by the council, Manchester Council, so they get a bit of say in it.
Right, okay.
If your stadium is privately owned, they just say, unless you're going to pull up a ton of free.
Oh, we'll go to the Etihad. Problem solved. Triple M rocking the footy. Let's stop gibbering and get to the game. Brisbane versus Cronulla after this.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.